Welcome back, everybody, into Bills Chat. I am Josh McCarty. With me tonight, as always, is Luca. Luca, two down, two to go.
It was a nice, relaxing Sunday evening, Josh. I can't imagine anything else other than just enjoying a simple game of football for us to all enjoy on a Sunday night as we go into Martin Luther King Day tomorrow. I had to out loud say exhales after that game because whereas I got the 2-point spread right when it comes to a 2-point victory for the Bills, the path to getting there might have been a little bit differently, we'll put it. And let's just say I'm happy and relieved that we're sitting here after a divisional round game, a close one, where somehow, some way, the Bills did find a way to win. And here we are getting to enjoy yet another week of football. Because as you said, we won two. We got two more to go for the ultimate goal. But at least we have another game coming up that we can look forward to after a big, big win and a nice sigh of relief following that game in Orchard Park tonight.
What a wild game. And, you know, when you talk about the NFL playoffs or playoffs in any sport, really, the mantra is survive and advance. And Luca, I think that's fitting for what the Bills did tonight, because in a lot of ways, it feels like they did survive. It felt like from the second half on that that game was uphill battle for the Bills. And the Ravens did just enough early on to give the Bills a cushion. And the Bills made their plays, and I'm giving them credit for that all the way. But as a Bills fan, we all have been on the other side of this. 13 seconds comes to mind where you feel like you outplayed the other team and you saw your quarterback make the necessary plays at the end, but other people let him down. And it's a weird feeling, Luca, here as a Bills fan to be on the victorious side of this, to have a playoff game come down to a last second play, a wild finish, and have the Bills on the other side of that. We haven't had that through the Josh Allen run. The wild finishes had all gone against the Bills. The Texans game was a wild finish. The Chiefs game, 13 seconds, was a wild finish. You know, the victories, the Colts game, came down to a Hail Mary, but Phillip Rivers threw that thing 15 yards short of the end zone. That wasn't dramatic. The first Ravens game was a 14-point game where Lamar missed the fourth quarter. Outside of that, I mean, I guess we were nervous about the Skylar Thompson game, but come on, that wasn't this. And, you know, it's been the heartbreakers, the Kansas City games twice that have gone against us. And I can get used to this. I can get used to the, boy, that was stressful. And holy cow, we won an exciting game. It wasn't quite the game of the year, Luca, but it's nice to have the Bills come out on the best side of this.
It's so well put, right? Because when you felt nervous going into a game, it always felt that those games would go against you if you are a Bills fan. And it feels good that it wasn't pretty. It wasn't perfect. It came down to the wire. Things were very uneasy. And yet somehow, some way, a way was found for the Bills to finish on top. I mean, when you look at the box score as a whole, if you took away the score and you just looked at the statistics themselves, you have to scratch your head and wonder, did the Bills actually, in fact, win this game? And you would question everything. And that feels perfect where the adage or the word you put it as being survive for survive in advance. That is quite literally what this game was. They were able to capitalize on most opportunities early on. They seemed to kind of get in their own little shell just as the Ravens were starting to figure things out in the second half. And then next thing you know, it just came down to, simply put, who was going to be able to make that one or two plays needed to get over the finish line. Something that I know I said a bunch that I felt like this play or this game was going to come down to. And luckily for the Bills, for once in one of these games, these tight playoff games that you really truly didn't know which way it was going to go, Mark Andrews drops that 2-point conversion. You are able to corral the onside kick. You pick up that crucial first down, you get your kneel downs, and just those couple little plays there on top of the couple little plays throughout the game ended up going your way for the most part. That got you over the finish line barely, but it got you there. And it feels great because it just, we need, it feels good to win one. The old Kevin meme from The Office, you know, it just feels good to win one. It's that's what it truly feels like, because you mentioned all the games in the past where it's, you know, the couple games in Arrowhead, or last year when Chiefs were here in the divisional round, and also that Bengals divisional game here. It's those games where you really truly weren't entirely sure how it was going to work out. Eventually the Bills seemed to come up short, however they did. And luckily we are not dealing with that for once. And Josh, the Buffalo Bills are returning to the AFC Championship. Thank goodness.
Oh, thank goodness indeed. And Luca, I feel like every game has a story. Every game is kind of like every football game that, you know, is memorable. You can kind of go back to like, oh, it was the 13 seconds game. I should probably pick a less painful example. What's the story of this game? What to you, there were several sequences in this game. What is the ultimate story of this game? If there was a lesson to be learned in this game, what did we learn?
Don't take your foot off the gas, and or just go back to the thing you trust the most defensively. The story of this game really is, it comes down to where, I'm trying to think of a creative way to say it, but the Bills had everything going for them in the first half.
Yeah.
And it felt like they had that real moment. And I think Tony Romo said it perfectly. You know, you have an opportunity right now to start the second half where you can absolutely put your foot on the throat and essentially put the game away. And from there, it felt like the Bills came out a little bit overly conservative. You end up with a 3-and-out. I believe it was 3-and-out, but eventually you punt. And then the Ravens start to gain a little bit of control like they wanted to. I believe that first drive only ended in a field goal. Then you have another 3-and-out, and that's where things really started to get uneasy for anyone watching that game, because that's when momentum is officially gone that you've built up to that point. And therefore, the Ravens really feel like they kind of control the event right there. And if it wasn't for a Matt Milano tip on a 2-point conversion, the Ravens do end up going down and tying it. They did get the touchdown. They just couldn't get the 2-point to tie it. And ultimately, the game was on a knife's edge. And the story of the game truly is that the coin flipped our way. That really, I would use the coin analogy, because going into it, I felt like it was a coin flip game. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, for whatever opinions you have, going into this game, you have to say they're equals. So from there, it's just blow after blow, which who has the better running back, who has the better running game, who has the better offensive line, so on and so forth. You can go down and it really feels pretty equal. And therefore, it's a flip of a coin. How is this going to work out? And it feels kind of fitting that really it came down to a singular play of the 2-point conversion that really had this game again on a knife's edge. A flip of a coin happens. The Ravens get essentially the look that they want. And for some reason, Mark Andrews was not prepared for this Western New York weather. It hits his hands. He needs to be coming down with that ball. He doesn't. And just like that, the Bills essentially go from, at that point in time, I'd have to look at the win percentage chart, but if I had to guess, you probably go from 55 to 60% to over 90%, just like that. And for that to be kind of what dictated the game, it does feel very fitting in this matchup, being that both sides felt very equal in kind of what they were capable of and what they could ultimately do, both offensively and defensively, as well as just scheme and coaching and every facet of the game. It was a true kind of back and forth punching match, not necessarily in score by score, but overall game, where the first half truly was the Bills game. And then all of a sudden those pesky Ravens figured something out, and they were trying to grab the game by its haunches as best as they could. And luckily for the Bills, they made a couple plays that were just enough to get over that finish line to get that coin to flip on their side.
To me, this game was all about equalizers. The narrative coming into this game was that the Ravens had the better roster. I didn't buy that. Luca and I talked about that on our preview show, that even with Zay Flowers being out, maybe especially with Zay Flowers being out, it felt like these rosters were a little bit more similar, but maybe that the Ravens' style of play, this was Luca's comeback to my point, was the Ravens' style is a bad fit for the Bills. Like, the Ravens can play or built their roster in a way that can really take advantage of some weakness on the Bills. And we saw that play out as the game went on. The Ravens adjusted to what the Bills threw at them. and they were kind of running it at will against the Bills down the stretch. But to me, this was a game of equalizers. You talk about the Damar Hamlin punch out that is a fumble recovery that swings the game. Unfortunately, the Taylor Rapp interception didn't ultimately lead to anything for the Bills because of a bad holding penalty. But then the Terrell Bernard knockout of that was also Mark Andrews, wasn't it? And then, you know, Mark Andrews dropping a ball. The Bills did not make those mistakes in this game. And a lot of times in playoff games, it comes down to a game of inches. It can come down to a swing play here, a swing play there. And the Bills, to their credit, were there for the equalizing plays. And Luca, I think when you looked at this matchup coming into it, you had to, even the most optimistic Bills fan, had to be worried about what the Bills were going to do against this Ravens offense. And I think if you were going to get yourself to a point where you thought that the Bills were going to win this game, there would have to be a certain segment of Josh Allen put his cape on at times. If I had told you before this game that Josh Allen was only going to account for 127 yards passing, 20 yards rushing, zero passing touchdowns, James Cook would average less than 4 yards per carry, the Ravens would outgain the Bills by almost 150 yards, you would have probably questioned what possible path the Bills could have to victory, correct?
Oh yeah, 1000%.
So when you have all that factored in, and then you talk about those equalizing plays, and we talk about this Bills defense, they live off of turnovers. And that is a thing that seems unsustainable until it pops up in a game like this. And then you realize that creating turnovers is a skill. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I wasn't sure if you knew I was kicking it to you or not, but I feel like box score analysis is going to say the Bills won this game. They didn't deserve to win. The Ravens outplayed them and the better team lost. But I think that when you factor in everything that goes into a football game, I think it's almost poetic that in a game that it was like the Bills were Josh Allen against Goliath, it was actually a very subtle, calm Josh Allen game, and everybody else around him helped keep the greater good on check and lead them to victory.
This was a supporting cast win for the Bills. That's what this was. I think that point you're making there is extremely valid, right? And when it comes to the defensive side of the ball in general, I love Josh Allen, although it felt like a weird moment to kind of start the whole, you know, proud of my defense talk, because he's mentioning that when the question was, you know, how did you feel when you saw Mark Andrews not catch that ball? And it's all credit to the Bills defense. I don't know if you can credit the Bills defense for a Mark Andrews drop at a 2-point conversion. It hits him right in the hands with no one around. But the point is still valid where this was a game that absolutely a lot of individuals felt like the Bills didn't have a chance if they felt that way, because the defense wouldn't be able to hold their own against this almighty, all-powerful Ravens offense that, in respect, they were absolutely steamrolling teams when they were coming up against them. I mean, the Steelers game last week showed you that it just felt like they were this unstoppable force at this moment in time. And when you take that, and you also just look at it from an overall picture, not really get into the nitty gritty details of that week four clash with these two teams, you go, that same situation's probably going to happen again. This is going to be what it is. And luckily this team showed up with better players from that time. But also, as we're talking about here, Josh, I think it's a very valid point. They did exactly what they always are under McDermott, right? It's a bend, don't break, and become opportunistic at the times you need to. I mean, you're seeing them always punch at balls. You're seeing them go after balls in the air and be aggressive at times. And also just be in the right position when a Lamar overthrow or misunderstanding of the throw, because clearly that, I think it was Isaiah Likely running a corner route and Lamar kind of just throws it like it's a wheel go route. You know, it's, guess what? Taylor Rapp's in the position he absolutely needs to be there. If Lamar throws the corner, it's probably caught. But because Rapp's where he needs to be and Lamar just doesn't throw the perfect pass, this defense is opportunistic enough and disciplined enough to be in the right place at the right time and make the play possible. And then on top of it all, I mean, the one thing I will say, Josh, is there were even other moments where I think late in the game, Cam Lewis punched a ball out and it just, the bounce didn't even go for him at that moment in time. But that's what this defense does. They're willing to let you take that underneath if you want it. And then from there, they're absolutely going to hunt you down in the open field. Worst case for the Bills' sake is they just at least tackle you and stuff like that beyond breaking it free. But they're going to absolutely attack that ball aggressively, play in, play out. And then eventually, if you keep driving it down the field, they have the end zone behind them. It gets tighter windows, and that's where normally you get to see them kind of thrive. And we even saw that tonight for the most part. There was one that they punched in, but you were seeing this Bills defense kind of start to stand on its head and force a couple field goals right when they got their backs against the wall kind of situation. It was a very perfect kind of fitting game from a defensive perspective. The Ravens are a very, very, very good offensive team, and yet this Bills defense overall, I do believe, and I think you share the sentiment, held their own very well, and they got the job done when they needed to, and they also were able to create those turnovers when the opportunity presented itself, whether it was an interception, whether it was getting the ball forced out either from Lamar and or a receiver, and then just jumping on it as soon as possible and being ready for the occasion to allow those short field opportunities to occur for the Bills offense, where you don't necessarily need the yards. You just need the production, whatever the drive calls for, to then punch it in and or get the points needed to make it an 8-point game or whatever it is at the time. So it was a full team affair where Josh Allen was, of course, you know, the conductor of the show, but it's not one where we absolutely needed him at all times to have the Superman cape on. We just needed it in spades. And for the most part, he got the job done. I will say, I'm sure a lot of people out there, we would have liked to see the ball in his hands a little bit more, especially when they started to kind of go into a little bit of a shell. But that's a lesson learned, I think, for going into next week, that hopefully they don't make that same mistake again if they're presented with a similar opportunity like they had today.
I want to talk about my favorite sequence of the game. And I talked about this at halftime, and I think this is the one that ultimately won the Bills the game, even though it was in the first half. It starts when the Bills have a, let's do some quick math here, a 14-7 lead. The Ravens have the ball, and they hit a big play over the head of Damar Hamlin, who's in single high coverage, to get down to like the 5-yard line. From that point on, the Bills hold them to a field goal. And that to me was an ultimate game changer. But my favorite sequence is with 3 minutes and 43 seconds left on the clock, the Bills get the ball back and they go on a 3-minute and 27-second touchdown drive executed to perfection to not only bleed the clock and give the Ravens zero chance to answer before the half ends, set themselves up for a double dip opportunity that ultimately did not come to fruition, but to go into halftime with a 2-score lead. I thought the Bills were so sharp in that offensive drive, Luca. I thought that even when they had the ball with like a minute and about the 15-yard line, they ran a play with Ty Johnson up the middle just to bleed about 40 seconds off of the clock before taking their shots at the end zone, got the timeouts again away from the Ravens. We talk about it all the time. These playoff games come down to a game of inches. And these are the inches that in his career, we've seen McDermott leave on the field. And you start looking at things and you're like, man, if you just would have been a little more buttoned up here, or a little more buttoned up there, you squib it instead of kicking it deep on 13 seconds, yada, yada, yada. We had the example last week against the Broncos, game of inches, where the Bills are on their 1-inch line back to the end zone on offense. And Spencer Brown tries to draw an offsides penalty, cost the team an inch. But if he gets that call, it's a 5-yard penalty the other way. Game changer, game of inches. And then today, the Bills manage that end of half sequence perfectly. And it all adds up in a game that you win by 2 points. I feel like we're only 2 games in to this playoff run that hopefully goes 4 games, but so far so good for the McDermott critics that always say that he doesn't have his team ready for these playoff moments. I thought again tonight was an example of McDermott having his team ready both for situations, and then we can talk about some of the stylistic things they did on defense to really confuse the Ravens early on.
I think I'm 85 to 90% of the way with you there on this game. I think the first half, I'm 1,000% with you. I think the first half, that end of half drive, is absolutely something where you tip the cap, understand the situation, know how to manage the clock, the game, everything with the flow. That is that moment there where, because you were lucky enough to get the coin toss to begin the game and you deferred, so you know you're going to get the ball at the second half, you want to try to minimize as much time you're going to give the ball back to Lamar, if at all. But ultimately, you need to finish that drive with points. And a touchdown's massive, because even when that drive was happening, Josh, in my head, I was like, I'm not going to assume they're going to get a touchdown if they double dip both times. But I would love to have the touchdown in the bag where you can start the second half with a nice longer drive that ends in a field goal. Obviously, this doesn't happen, but you can start the second half with a nice long drive that ends in a field goal. And you're like, okay, this is a true two score game, touchdown game. And therefore, you're feeling very comfortable with the pressure you just laid on the Ravens and getting that touchdown to start where you didn't leave any time for the Ravens to do whatever they could have possibly have done to maybe salvage a field goal out of it in the first half to then lead into halftime. I thought that was awesome. Where I find it questioning, or I'm not 100% with you, is because with all of that in mind, with how great things were going and where my mindset was there, I really did start to question how things were being orchestrated later on in the game, where I'm sure we'll get into it in a bit, so I won't go too deep. But I think it's maybe in those moments where McDermott maybe should, I don't know. I don't think he's going into a shell or all of a sudden just like having wartime flashbacks where he just panics and freaks out. But I want to know why it felt a little bit inconsistent when it came to how well he had control of things and how well things were going in the first half. And then all of a sudden, when you had a couple key situations, I think he made the right end decisions, like going for the field goal to go up eight with that final drive. That's exactly what you do there. Like, I'm not that particular decision a-okay with. It's kind of the couple plays beforehand that I'm wondering, or at least the play beforehand that I'm wondering truly where that decision is coming from. But overall, he is having a much stronger playoff than the McDermott haters would like to see, I guess is the way to put it. And I'm still with you on there. It makes me at least feel, for the most part, comfortable going into Arrowhead, into an AFC championship where I'm not seeing 13 seconds in the future for a Sean McDermott. I think time management, game management, and understanding of flow, momentum, where things are, I think McDermott has a much better footing on that overall than he has had in seasons past, that I'm with you for the most part. I just think there were still a couple little cracks there today where I'm like, I'm still questioning why you're doing that in that exact moment. But then like finishing the point, at least he still reeled it back where I could have absolutely seen him go for that fourth and goal. And it's like, no. If you can get this to 8 points, you literally can't lose this game on the upcoming drive. That field goal is too big to pass up, even though 2.5 yards feels like only a little bit for a Josh Allen-led offense.
What do we think of the job the defense did this game? And I asked that because obviously there were times it was uncomfortable. I think we knew that was going to be the case given this matchup. But I want to talk about the job they did and the strategy they clearly employed early on. And you were on this 90 minutes before kickoff when you messaged me and said, whoa, look at that. Codrington's inactive. Shakir is healthy and Shakir is up. And it seems like it may not be a health thing. It's the Bills want an extra linebacker active. And that was kind of a clue into what we had talked about with this game, a strategy the Bills could use where maybe they're going to dedicate all their resources to stopping the run early on and forcing the Ravens into passing. And we saw that with the Bills having five linebackers up. Eddie Ulo Foscio was up, the rookie. When you look at this Bills team early on, they really did dedicate all their resources to stopping the run. And it's so funny because I remember after the first drive, the Ravens go right down and score a touchdown. The first drive ends and I'm like strangely optimistic. I can't explain it because the Ravens, you know, when the Bills got him the third and long, Lamar made a play. And then Lamar finds, I think it was Bateman down the field, or likely, and then ultimately scores a touchdown to Bateman. And you're just like, oh, well, they made that look easy. But like, okay, the defense, for some reason, I'm optimistic about how they play at the line of scrimmage there. And then, you know, the biggest thing that this defense did for the Bills, it was obviously creating turnovers. They only gave up 10 points in the first half. But when you look at this matchup, they got the game to a point in the second half and in the fourth quarter, Luca, where it was on the Bills' offense to put the game away. It wasn't a situation where the offense had to score and then the defense had to get a stop and the offense had to score again. They got it to the point where the bread and butter of this team, the offense, had a chance to put the game away. In fairness, the offense came up a little short. If they had gotten that touchdown instead of the field goal late, game's put away. But the defense had to go out there and make one more stop, which ultimately they didn't make. And Mark Andrews drops it. But I come away very impressed with the defense. I think it's fair to say they passed the test. You held Derrick Henry to 84 rushing yards, but it wasn't a perfect day. But I think if coming into this game, I had told you they're going to hold the Ravens to 25 points, they're going to have an opportunity to give the offense the ball with a chance to put the game away with a lead late, you would have signed for that in blood.
I think the defense, if I had to give them a letter grade, I'd honestly give them a B plus or an A minus. I think all things considered, this is regardless of health and looking back at the week four matchup and saying, well, it's a lot different of a defensive unit when it comes to personnel. Yes, that's true. But I think it's also true where it is just a bad matchup. The Ravens offense is a bad matchup for this defense for Sean McDermott. It doesn't take a genius to recognize that. And I think any Bills fan or something that might say otherwise, I think you're just being a little bit clouded or just misguided in that opinion. And all in all, what I love is early on, as you're saying, like they were selling out resources, the flexible resources to stop the run. And I thought early on they were doing a good enough job where you weren't letting Derrick Henry get comfortable early. And then from there, we're able to create those turnovers and opportunistic things that you knew were not going to continue to happen throughout the game, right? That you got three turnovers in this game. And the fact that that happened, you have to consider not necessarily a miracle, but a gift, a massive, massive gift that luckily when you handed it over to the offense, for the most part, if you take away one phantom holding, they were able to capitalize on completely. And that is great in itself. That is your job. And even when eventually you started to get wore down, when eventually the Ravens were starting to, you know, take control of everything, the trenches, they were absolutely killing the Bills in the second half. When that was happening, which felt inevitable, at least you were able to have this game in control early enough and hand the ball over to your offense so that when the game got tight once again, as you put it, the offense didn't hold up its end entirely, but the game was still well in control that the offense needed to come up with a few plays just to get it over the finish line. And the defense deserves a lot of credit for that. The defense absolutely, in my opinion, did pretty much as best as it could. It was frustrating at times, especially that one touchdown drive in the third quarter for the Ravens. That was when it was really like, oh crap, here we go. Like, I was happy that the Bills offense was able to have a long enough drive in the fourth quarter that ended in a field goal that was 10 plays, and at least that was probably enough time for a conversation between McDermott and Babich to go, we need to get out of this man. We need to figure out something a little bit differently for the defensive line and ultimately just hold the fort down at that point moving forward. And that adjustment alone, I think, was just enough that got this job done for the defense and got it done for the team overall, that all credit is due to the defense. I think they did a phenomenal job, all things considered. And really, I just truly struggle to find a place where I can complain about this. And I honestly don't know where a complaint could even be had with this defense beyond just being worn down. And that's going to happen to anyone that plays this Raven offense. So I'm not going to hold that against them like it's anything too negative.
What does this do for the Bills' legacy and specifically Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, Luca? Because the last 3 years we have seen the Bills make it to the divisional round and lose to an elite quarterback. 13 seconds, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And then the last 2 years in Buffalo to Joe Burrow and then Patrick Mahomes. The Bills make it again to the divisional round this year, get through an elite quarterback and move on to the AFC championship game. Obviously, the story of the 2024-2025 season is not complete. We all hope this ends with a Super Bowl trophy. But did Josh Allen and Sean McDermott accomplish anything tonight with their legacy, when you look at the fact that other than Lamar Jackson in 2020, one knock against the Josh Allen McDermott Bills are, you look at the quarterbacks they've beaten in the playoffs, it's been Phillip Rivers on the brink of retirement, Skylar Thompson, Lamar Jackson, who left the game early, although I'll argue with anybody that game was over when he left. you had Bo Nix, you had Mason Rudolph. I might be missing somebody, but you all get the idea. What is this particular game, this setting against this opponent, if anything, do for their legacy?
I don't really think it does anything. I'm just going to be honest. This only does one thing, and that solidifies them for the future as one of the contenders moving forward. What this truly is the emphatic known that, hey, depending, as long as 17's under center and Sean McDermott's the coach, this is exactly what you can expect them to be, a contending level team. They are among the AFC contenders, and nothing should ultimately change that. Now, I don't think it truly moves the needle beyond that. And that, simply put, is because I think the true litmus test and the true metric that everyone's going to put them to is the big bad Chiefs, that they're going to have to go into Arrowhead and play next week and see what comes of that. If they are able to go over that hurdle, that is when the needle will finally move, Josh. I think that's truly, it's no disrespect to Lamar, because Lamar is great. He is part of the elite. He's part of the, as I love to call, the big four. Unfortunately for us, the big four are currently all in the AFC. They're all names that you have mentioned in this podcast. But everything in mind with this game only, this just will go into next season, Josh, regardless of the moves, as long as nothing cataclysmic happens. And it's like, hey, the Bills are going to be among those teams probably sitting there in the divisional trying to get it to the AFC championship game, and they're going to be trying to contend for a Super Bowl, because 17 is sitting there and he will be under center, and Sean McDermott is the head coach of this team. I think that's the one thing I come from this game, Josh. I don't see a world where Sean McDermott loses his job. There is nothing that can change that moving forward. I think this is just a big win for him when it comes to confidence that, yes, he can win those big games. And then ultimately, from an outsider's perspective, legacy-wise, this just makes them be one of the true locked-in big boys of the AFC year in, year out. You can kind of, this is a little bit of that foundation piece now where you can't give the but. Like, whether it's good or not, this is something that we're going to hear happen with Lamar tomorrow. I think it's unjust. It's not fair. This is not on Lamar at all. Lamar deserved every part of winning this game. He did everything he possibly could, and he can't, as Giselle Butchinson said, he can't throw the ball and catch it too. Like, that's just the reality of it. You know, Mark Andrews dropped a couple crucial balls and or got one punched out of his hands. Mark Andrews had the tough day in the snow. Someone should question if Mark Andrews is ready for the big stage, because Lamar certainly looked like he was up for the task. But ultimately, that's where the questions are going to be, whether it's just or not. And then for Josh Allen, for the Bills, for Sean McDermott, this is just kind of locking them in place as a Super Bowl contender in the AFC, as an AFC contender, and you give them the little bit of the clout and the history of it. Hey, they were able now to do this. That is proof of why they are capable of doing it, and we're going to move forward thinking that that is the case.
Bob Sturm from, I believe, Dallas-Fort Worth Sports Radio has a great stat here. The four winning teams this weekend turned the ball over zero times combined. The losing teams combined for 10. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, tags on, games are lost more than they are won. Boy, Luca, is that ever the truth. And I think it's apropos for this season, where coming into the year, the real knock on Josh Allen, if you had one, was he can be careless with the football and he can put the ball in harm's way. And for the Bills to come out and essentially get outgained, but the game was won on the margins, won on the turnovers. Lamar and the Ravens turn it over three times. And this Bills team that has been elite as all get out this season at protecting the football turned it over zero times. I was actually going to hit on the whole, do you think Lamar avoided the criticism that either Josh or Lamar were going to get this week? Because that was a story coming in. You hit on it a little bit. Let's go ahead and just button that up before we get to game balls and game checks. You knew how it was going to go. Whoever loses this game, their legacy is going to get called into it. They're going to catch the brunt of it. Lamar had his mistakes in this game, but I think I feel like where you're coming from. I certainly co-sign. I think any criticism beyond, hey, Lamar made a couple mistakes, but man, he put his team in position to win, is grossly unfair, and it's just shock jock talk.
Yeah, that's exactly put, right? Lamar did make mistakes. Lamar early on, you know, there was a lot of playoff Lamar's come to play memes going out and things like that early on in the game. And that was also, let's just say, warranted. But from there, Lamar did what a great and elite player can do. And he just picked himself up, got things going. And then, as you put it perfectly, put his team in a position to tie/be able to still win that game. And unfortunately for him, he can't throw and catch all at the same time. And someone had to let him down in this case. And I don't think he's avoided the conversation from, how do I put this, from the usual suspects, individuals that I do not listen to on a daily occurrence, a weekly occurrence. But I bet you, I will say it this way. There's no way you're going to hear any negative conversation about Lamar Jackson from, let's say, the Pat McAfee show. There's no way you're going to hear any negative comments from pretty much anyone, let's say, under the Barstool umbrella that just gives their fan takes.
Chris Sims.
Your Dan Orlovsky's, your Chris Sims, those guys too. From the individuals that I will say are at least grounded with their takes and are willing to just say it how it is and not just do it for whatever other motives they have to say the opinions that they have, I think you will hear the appropriate response to this game. And that feels valid. And I think there should be, and I don't think I've seen any online for the most part, unless you're trying to troll, there should be no ill will thrown to Lamar for the reason that the Ravens lost this game. And just for it matter, like, Mark Andrews came up short. He kind of screwed his team, but really outside of Mark Andrews, there's no one else at fault for the Ravens. Like, they had a good game. It's just, they came up short in big moments, and Mark Andrews was really the only one you can kind of highlight as time after time after time really just kind of screwed things up when he should have not.
You know, what's fascinating about the Mark Andrews play is it, to me, it kind of runs parallel with the Tyler Bass missed field goal from last year against the Chiefs. I think because it happened, it's very easy to say that's why they lost the game. And it's the Mark Andrews play certainly plays into why they lost the game. But let's just play it out where Mark Andrews catches that, converts the 2-point conversion. The Bills are getting the ball back with a minute and a half left. Luca, you and I are me especially, I'm as nervous a Bills fan as there is. I love their spot. When Likely scored the touchdown, there's a part of me that was like, I think I'll take this.
Plenty
because the worst case scenario was driving down and scoring like the Bills did at the end of the first half and leaving us no time to respond. A minute and a half and three timeouts for the Bills is all the time in the world to get into the Tyler Bass field goal range. Then you're just holding your breath. But I don't know about you, Luca. I loved the situation the Bills were in if Andrews completes that to win the game before overtime.
Yeah, I'm not saying Andrews truly lost the game. Like, that play will stand. I think how you just put it is perfect, right? That play will be highlighted as the reason or the losing moment for the Ravens. Mm-hmm. But, which, by the way, if you want to say losing moment, that is also valid because that is ultimately where you see that probability of winning dip. But it isn't the sole reason they lost. He himself had some other bad plays that cost them dearly as well. But then overall, as you put it, even let's say he catches it, the Bills are in a phenomenal position. Yes, I agree. After I got over the fact of how the hell did we just let that be wide open in the middle of the end zone, I then looked at the clock and I was like, oh, over a minute left, three timeouts, exactly what you put it. I was like, plenty of time to do something. And worst case, they get this 2-point conversion and we have that ball back. We drive a little bit, whatever it is, and we just run out of time and or just can't get in that proper field position. You're not losing the game in that moment. And then we're probably going to overtime. And thankfully, because of 2021, you will at least have one possession in that overtime. So, like, it wasn't the end all be all, nor should Mark Andrews be crucified for truly costing the win because it was him and solely him as the reason why. Like, you can easily see multiple reasons why. And just, I only bring up Mark Andrews because it does feel like if you want to highlight where things went wrong for the Ravens, number 89 for the Ravens was kind of around a lot of those plays. He had a tough day at the office.
All right, Luca, let's move on to our favorite segment, particularly after a win, game balls and game checks. The game ball is the game MVP. Game check is the player that really didn't even need to show up. Luca, who gets your game ball for this big monstrous win over the Baltimore Ravens?
This one is a difficult one. I'm going to be quite frank. I think there's a lot of players that deserve it. But I will also say this. What I didn't anticipate is a lot of the names I come up with are on the defensive side of the ball. Going into this game, I definitely don't think I would have been in this headspace. It's just really hard for me to overlook DeMar Hamlin. And I'm not that guy that wants to really give DeMar Hamlin his flowers too often, because I'm trying to separate the emotional attachment that is naturally there with DeMar and just the football player himself. But DeMar had a strong game today in a game where, in our preview, no, maybe I didn't say it out loud, but I've said it to some people where I was like, I could see a world where we're taking DeMar off to go bigger and have Rapp at free safety. And then you're bringing in, you know, your Dorian Williams and keep Taron Johnson out there and like do whatever, you know, change things up. Well, one, Rapp gets hurt. Two, DeMar Hamlin was staying out there the whole time. Not that I thought that was ever a feasible idea, by the way. McDermott loves his two safeties. And DeMar had a very strong game. He forced the fumble on that sack, although it's not like he forced it from a straight punch, but you got to wrap up Lamar in that moment. He got it done. He lucked out even getting a forced fumble that 28-year-old Von Miller houses easily, but unfortunately for us, 36-year-old Von Miller does not. He doesn't exactly have speed after 10 yards, but still, hey, good effort there, 40. But DeMar's best play is one that you highlighted before we started recording, and I think that is the reason truly he gets my game ball. There's a key moment where Derrick Henry is running it, and there's a lot of mess going on, and I want to say it was in the red zone area. There's a mess of blockers and situation, and DeMar sifted through all of that and easily just wrapped up Derrick Henry, got him down for, I believe, what was a 6-yard gain, and ultimately, later on, that ended up being stuffed. They had to settle for a field goal, and if DeMar doesn't make that tackle in that moment, Derrick Henry is probably just walking into the end zone with ease. There's no one else there. That's the moment you need your safeties to be the last line of defense. And I'm going to say this, I don't mean it disrespectfully. That's a moment that we would even see the old 23 back there, or the 21 back there, not be able to come up with that tackle in that moment on a Derrick Henry. And ultimately they got it punched in and you're just left frustrated in that moment. And of all the people to step up and make that tackle, DeMar Hamlin is not exactly the individual I would have thought to be that person in that moment. So for that tackle, for coming up with the sack and forced fumble that ended up happening from that, being the leading tackler on the team, from what I understand on the day, DeMar Hamlin gets my game ball, because that is a performance that, take all the emotion aside, he had a great day at the office and he was a very big part of the defense's success on the day.
It was a massive play. And I hate to even bring this up because it's such a stupid minority of people that even like put this out there, but Twitter can be gross. You stay off of it as much as you can. You're probably a much happier person for it. But there was a segment of Ravens fans that were talking about if DeMar Hamlin runs into Derrick Henry, and you can kind of finish that sentence, you know, you can figure out where it's going. And he did run into Derrick Henry, and he saved 4 points, and the Bills won by two. So good for DeMar Hamlin. I mean, he has regained his entire career and been a very solid starter. I love that pick for you for game ball. There's a couple guys I want to mention here. Terrell Bernard, I thought, you know, he just has a nose for the football. Obviously made the massive play on the knockout. I don't think this was his best game in run support, but, you know, he's one of those guys that when you think about creating turnovers, he just has that knack to get it done. I thought AJ Epenesa was very strong in run support and containing the edge today. I felt like maybe more so than any game this season, you felt AJ Epenesa's presence out there, and that was very important. Daquan Jones, I think, was very strong up the middle at the point of attack. Matt Milano, just like Terrell Bernard, was a guy that didn't play in that week 4 game, and he was all over the field today. He wasn't as all over it as Tony Romo wanted to pretend like, giving Matt Milano credit for literally everything the Bills did well. But he, you know, he had a sack. He was the spy on Lamar. And I think ultimately you're kind of seeing flashes of the very, very good Matt Milano coming back. And I thought Khalil Shakir again just continues to be like Josh Allen's safety net on offense. But I'm going to go a little bit different direction here, Luca. One player coming into these playoffs and frankly coming into this season that a lot of us were nervous about, Tyler Bass. The season ended with his foot, you know, kicking a ball to the right of the upright. And we talked about that a little bit, but he's had 10 kicks in these playoffs. All 10 have gone through the uprights, including a 51-yarder today in the snow in a game that the Bills won by 2 points. So, you know, he hasn't had that walk-off game winner in the playoffs. He had a massive one against Miami. But you want to talk about a guy that has the world doubting him. Everybody remembers what happened last year against the Chiefs. He has been, to this point, perfect for the Bills every time they've called his name in the playoffs. And I want to give him a lot of credit. I thought that 51-yarder was massive. I thought the Bills were making a grave mistake sending him out there for that kick. I didn't think he was going to be able to make it. I thought it was a tough ask for him, and he drilled it. And Tyler Bass, kudos to you. And, you know, that's not the kind of position where once you start going left, it's easy to get back on center. And it feels like, in a lot of ways, Tyler Bass maybe has prolonged his Bills career because he's come up bigger this year than I think people give him credit for when you look at the overall stats. Game check award, Luca. You know, there were some performances out there that I think could come to mind here. Who gets your game check award for Bills and Ravens?
I can't believe Josh Allen only had 147 yards total, Josh. Got to get the game check.
Should have gone to Trubisky. I was saying it.
I feel like there's just one highlighted candidate for this situation, and it's someone that I think you highlighted going into the game very well. And I think a lot of us had positive feelings that if there was a time for this guy to finally show up in a big moment, at least for this team, after bringing him in midseason, this was it. The situation presented itself. I will say, even with me giving this, there was one where I think Allen threw the slant to Shakir, I think it was, and Shakir picked up, let's say, 5 yards. And this individual was also lined up one-on-one on the outside running a quick slant that I was like, you just literally got the situation you probably want with him. Let's throw him the ball and see what he can do. I'm not going to not say his name anymore. Amari Cooper gets my game check award. He basically just didn't need to exist today. But again, it's only on one target. It's not like he played bad. It's just one of those ones where it felt like this was the time to maybe see a little bit more Amari Cooper involvement. And it's just whether it's Allen's just not truly comfortable with him, or he's just so overly comfortable with Shakir and even your Knoxes of the world or whatever it is, like, so be it. But Amari Cooper, sadly, it was you that seemed to stand out among the crowd of the Bills, and you ultimately get my game check award.
He is the best answer for this. He would have been my answer. It's a phenomenal point by you. I wanted to also bring up, there's a couple other guys in game ball I forgot. Ed Oliver, I thought you felt him a couple times on the game. And then Rasul Douglas, can't be overlooked how huge he was on that onside kick recovery, as many of us were just petrified about losing a playoff game in the most painful ways possible. So you took my answer, which obviously it's okay. I'm going to go. I just had the answer and now I have to remember. Oh, you know who I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with Dalton Kincaid. And, you know, he actually outperformed Dawson Knox in the box score. But I feel like this was the kind of game where you look at what the Ravens had out there with their linebackers. And I felt like Dalton Kincaid had a chance to really make some noise. He had that drop where it would have been a tough catch, but man, you'd love to see him make it for Josh Allen on that first drive, which really started that snowball of, oh man, the Ravens are getting back into this. There's just, I love the player, Luca. I still believe in the player. There's so much talent there. The smoothness that he runs routes with, I still believe his hands are some of the best hands on the team. I still believe in the upside of the player. I just think that at this stage of his career now, deep, deep, deep into year two, I think you'd like to see more. And I think he's leaving us wanting more a little too often, particularly for a team that doesn't just have a target funnel like a Jamar Chase or an AJ Brown, where it's like, well, he's not getting his catches, but look who's over here. There's plenty of room for Dalton Kincaid to eat. And I just, you know, I think he's leaving us all wanting more. But hey, there's two games left. Go out there and get more. Luca, I don't really want to get too much into what's next because we have all week to talk about that. And I have a feeling we have a preview show coming up on Friday, the AFC Championship game. What I actually want to finish with, though, let's have some fun. I want to talk about what was going through your mind in about the minute and a half between Mark Andrews dropping the ball and Rasul Douglas recovering the onside kick. Because I will tell you exactly what was going through my mind. At that point, the Bills are up by two, and the only way they're going to lose this game is recovering an onside kick. And I am thinking to myself, if the Bills lose a playoff game, you have to live with however this ended for the rest of the offseason. And you're talking about a scenario where they drop a pass, gift you a win, and you give it right back on a play that has a 95% success rate and you fall into the 5%. And I was living petrified, Luca, drawing comparisons, ready for this, to the 2007 Dallas Cowboys Buffalo Bills Monday Nighter, where the Bills led by 8 points with 30 seconds left and lost in regulation in this exact same sequence, where it was touchdown, missed 2-point conversion, onside kick recovery, miracle field goal. And oh my God, Luca, as sucky as the off seasons have been around here, can you imagine a scenario where we're replaying the two Josh Allen snowplow plays that should have been, followed up by a Lamar Jackson touchdown drive for the ages, and then, oh, Mark Andrews gives us life. We give it right back with the onside kick, and Justin Tucker breaks our heart. There's not a lot of scenarios out there where I wouldn't want to get out of bed in the morning. That would be one, and that was what was going through my mind through that entire time. You're not generally as fatalistic as I am. Where was your head at before that onside kick?
Before the onside kick, I was like, it's not like I was thinking percentages, but I was like, there's a way better chance of this being recovered by the Ravens than usual. That's primarily due to the elements and the unknown of what could happen with a slick ball on top of a kicker that is Justin Tucker, who, look, let's be honest, he's one of the best kickers of a football of all time. I'm sure he sits there and practices different ways to kick that oblong looking object to get a reaction out of it the way he would like. So I even made a comment out loud where I was like, I bet you that sick explicative was out there in practice all week practicing with a frozen ball just to see what would happen for a moment like this. You know, it's one of those things where that starts creeping in your head. I will say the other thing that creeped in my head was not even Bills related. I didn't even say this out loud to any of the friends in the room or anything, but you know what's a weird thing is, Josh? I had a flashback to Brandon Bostic in the 2014 NFC Championship game. And I'm like, how can an onside kick go wrong and cost you the game ultimately? And that was immediately where my head went. Not even a Bills-related memory. It's just like thinking about when an onside kick in a big playoff moment went terribly wrong.
And that random was the Packers moment. Heartache.
Yeah, just a random moment in time that I remember for whatever reason in that moment. I'm like, please just don't have a Brandon Bostic moment. That's it. Like, just don't do that. And funny enough, when I see the hands teams out there, Khalil Shakir, I know, was on the one side. And then I look down on the other side and I see 31 and I'm like, Rasul Douglas, is our second hands team guy. I would think like Mac Hollins or, you know, someone else, but luckily Rasul knows how to read a ball bouncing on the ground pretty well and was able to kind of hood it over and everything was fine. But going through my head was a little bit of weird thoughts. It was how can this go wrong? And I wasn't necessarily thinking about Bill's memories, but I was thinking about this feels like I shouldn't be as comfortable as I normally would in an onside kick situation just due to the circumstances. And then on top of it, okay, let's think about how it goes wrong. And randomly, I genuinely mean this. Brandon Bostic screwing that up for the Packers somehow just bloop popped right in my head. And that's what I thought about. And then also, I mean, I didn't even connect it until this very moment. And a former Packer didn't screw it up for us, got on top of the ball, and everything's good. So, yeah, that's what was going on in my head.
Time is a flat circle, Luca. The Bills came out of this game pretty healthy. No major injuries. The one to watch would be Taylor Rapp, and the fascinating downstream effect of that is, could we possibly see Micah Hyde activated for this next coming game? I mean, it's the championship game. If not now, when? If Taylor Rapp can't go, if not now, when? Right, Luca?
Yeah, the conversation around that's going to be very loud. If Taylor Rapp truly has a hip issue, like we've seen some on Twitter speculate based on that, because I don't know if it's been officially said where the concern might be. But if that is more than just a day-to-day kind of bruise and or whatever jamming, and it does extend itself where the AFC championship game is seriously in question, realistically, the next man up to elevate, is the conversation becomes, if you're trying to elevate a safety, you're going to either Lewis Cine or you're going to Micah Hyde.
Isn't Louis Cien gone? Did I miss that? Am I wrong?
Is Louis Cien gone now?
I thought we lost him. Maybe I'm making that up in my head. Go ahead. I'll look it up.
But regardless, that's where my head is. And then, as you put it perfectly, Micah Hyde, if he's here to maybe be as a break glass in case of emergency safety replacement, you stashed away on the practice squad, this is the time you bring him up just in case. Like, you're probably going out there and fully intending DeMar Hamlin, Cole Bishop pairing and, you know, doing your thing.
Cam Lewis, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cam Lewis, whatever. But just in case, in the off chance, then you run into a Cole Bishop injury or whatever it is, it's like, hey, 23,
get dressed. What do you got?
What do you got for us? It's a good time to show back up for this season.
Louis Cien is now a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's, you know, it is what it is. It's practice squad.
That's fine.
That never amounted to anything, even though you and I were excited. All right. It'll be fun to track. It'd be interesting to see what happens to Micah Hyde. Quickly, Luca, before we get out of here, I don't need to give me any analysis. Just quick prediction on the game tomorrow night. Notre Dame, Ohio State for all the marbles in college football.
Play like a champion. I'm so conflicted. On one hand, I have family that's Notre Dame alums. I have deep roots to love for Notre Dame. I've been to Notre Dame for a game. I would love to go back for another one anytime. I root for Notre Dame always. I root for the Irish. I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those suckers. But Ohio State feels like men among boys. They really do. They feel like the Ravens going into tonight. Josh, that's a great way to put it. Like, they feel like an unstoppable thing that has a multitude of ways to beat you defensively, offensively. I mean, that freshman receiver that his name's blanking for whatever reason, even though I've known his name every day.
It's been a long day. It's okay. Yeah.
Like, he's NFL ready, but he has to play out two more years for whatever reason. But there is something about Marcus Freeman that I love so much. I think the difference in that game will come down to coaching. And there's one coach that I actually have been growing in trust and faith and understanding the game and the situations, what to do. And there's another that seems like in big games, and in big moments, seems to fold a little bit more, being Ryan Day. And the heart in me, Josh, honestly, genuinely believes that somehow, some explicitive way, the Irish are actually going to come out on top. It's going to be, look, if the Irish win, there is 0% that this game is a comfortable game if you're an Irish fan. There's no way they win comfortably just from a raw look of it where it's like Ohio State's just that good from top to bottom. But also, the Irish just don't win comfortable games against big opponents. Mm-hmm. You got to win it fun. You got to make it interesting and buckle up. But I think the Irish actually pull it off in Atlanta. I think that they're just playing at a level right now defensively that it just feels like they can play above their weight, which is what they need to do in this matchup. And I'm going to take the Irish in a high scoring affair. I'm going to take the Irish. Let's go 32-27. I think Notre Dame is going to finally win a national championship for the first time since the 80s. It's this feels like a magical season for them.
I'd love to see it. I have family that roots for Notre Dame. I'm certainly rooting for Notre Dame. It feels like Ohio State's a slightly better team. They're slightly healthier. Notre Dame's missing some offensive linemen, but my heart says Notre Dame. I'm going to go ahead and pick them. Love to see it happen. I think it'd be cool to see a team that lost to Northern Illinois ultimately win the championship, but Ohio State got blown out at home by Michigan, who's not a great team. And, you know, it's been a fun college year. We'll see what happens. And obviously we'll be diving into college after the Super Bowl, hopefully, for all things draft related. Anyway, Luke and I'll be back later this week for a Bills Chiefs preview, and then we'll be back next week for AFC Championship postgame. For Luca, I am Josh McCarty. The Bills are going to the AFC Championship game, people. We'll see you next time.